any of you have ever raised teenagers, you'll appreciate this Mother's Day joke. Two children ordered their mother to stay in bed one Mother's Day morning. As she lay there looking forward to breakfast in bed, the smell of bacon floated up from the kitchen. But after a good long wait, she finally went downstairs to investigate where her breakfast was. She found her teenagers both sitting at the table eating bacon and eggs. They explained to her, "Happy Mother's Day! Our surprise for Mother's Day, we decided to cook our own breakfast." Yeah. Been there, done that, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we're mothering two international students. We're remembering that now, too. Yeah. Today is Mother's Day. A day that can be a day of sweet sorrow. It can be a very complicated day, depending on your relationship with your own mother. If you had a difficult relationship with your mother, it can be painful standing at the card store struggling to pick out a Mother's Day card, or picking up the phone to talk, or deciding not to acknowledge the day at all because you never really understood each other. And it would just be too overwhelming or painful. Or if your mother is no longer alive, it can be a day tinged with grief in remembering the loss of a loving mother and giving gratitude for all the ways she shaped who you are. Or Mother's Day can be a time of grieving the kind of relationship you always longed for with your mother, but never had. Or if you are a mother who has a strained relationship with your children, or if you always wanted to be a mother and circumstances made it difficult to have a child, or if you always wanted to be a mother and then finally were, and then you grieve the loss of a child, it can be a painful day waiting for the call that doesn't come. Or if you had a rich relationship with your mother, or you are a mother surrounded by your children, it can be a wonderful day of celebration and gratitude as you honor your mother or are honored for being a mother, for all the ways you have tried to offer your best, most nurturing self to the people you call family. So it is a very complex, emotionally complex day. But no matter what your relationship with your mother or your experience of being a mother, whether wonderful or wounding or both, the mother-child relationship is one of the most important relationships any of us can ever have because it grows us into the people we become. It appears from our very few scriptures about Jesus and his relationship with his mother that Jesus, too, may have had a very complicated relationship with his mother. In one passage, his mother is giving birth to him in a stable, not a very sanitary place to begin life. In another passage, his mother is giving birth to him alone in a house. In another passage, apparently the 12-year-old rebel teen Jesus takes off without letting his mother know his whereabouts, and she is reported as frantically searching for him, only to find him, of all places, at the temple, sitting at the feet of the priests. In another passage, at a wedding feast, she is encouraging him to step into his role as a miracle worker, but he argues with her, and then changes his mind and performs his first miracle according to the Gospel of John, turning water into wine. And another time, Jesus' mother is standing outside the place where he is teaching, worried that he hasn't eaten, and concerned about his mental health, thinking he is beside himself. And in another passage, Jesus' mother is at the bottom of the cross as Jesus is dying, and he is tenderly ensuring that she is cared for by one of the disciples when he is no longer able to be there for her. Woman, here is your son. Behold your mother. It is a relationship like all mother-child relationships, full of paradox, a mix of powerful emotions, a relationship filled with moments of love and struggle in the painful path to growing up and growing into our truest and best selves, whether we are the mother who is being grown or whether we are the child being grown. Because ultimately, that is what all of our family relationships are all about. Whether we are talking about our family of origin, or whether we are talking about the families we ourselves create, they are the places we are all grown in. They are the places, the sacred holy places, that shape the human beings we will become. Because as you know, when children are born, there is no manual that tells us how to be a parent. Wouldn't that be great if the child came out and the manual came directly afterward? Oh, good. How to use this? How to care for this? I know I read every book I could get my hands on when my first child was born. And then when I became a mother, a lot of the time I just had to put the books down and just follow my heart in discerning what to say or do with my child and hope and pray that I was doing the right thing by them. And so it's important that whether we have had positive relationships with our mothers or not so positive relationships with our children or not so positive, it is important when living in families that we seek to heal to the best of our ability all of our familiar relationships, because it's in the healing of our families that we heal our own hearts. It is in forgiving our mothers for being human, or forgiving ourselves as mothers, that we find forgiveness and grace for being human. Several years ago, I took a course in New York City in which the teacher was a German psychiatrist. And it was all about healing generational family pain. And he said something that I've never forgotten, and I know I've shared it with you before, but I think things that are worth sharing should be shared more than once, because I don't know about your memory, but it's not the best. He said, "The commandment to honor your mother and your father is one of the most important commandments to live, because it's an instruction to us about healing." He said this: "Our parents may not have been worthy of our honoring them, but honor them anyway. Because if we cannot forgive our parents for their weaknesses, in time we will become their weaknesses. But if we can give our parents their weaknesses, we will become their strengths." I'm going to say that again. If we cannot forgive our parents their weaknesses, in time we will become their weaknesses. But if we can forgive our parents their weaknesses, we will become their strengths. So I want to invite you into two sacred conversations this morning. Actually, there's three. The first is with yourself, a conversation with yourself, and then with the people around you. Those are the first two. So I invite you to reflect on three questions about your mother, because we all had one, whether we knew them or not. What were your mother's weaknesses, the ways in which she failed you? And what were her strengths? And in what ways have you become those strengths? In other words, what did your mother teach you, both in her weaknesses and in her strengths? What were her strengths? What were her weaknesses? And then gathered from that, what did you learn from her that has become a quintessential aspect about yourself that you are grateful for? In other words, what strength did she pass on to you to make you who you are? Whether by the things she did or the things she didn't do. How are you you because of that gift? I'd like you to turn to the people closest to you. Make sure no one is alone. So it might be someone in front of you or behind you or beside you. Make sure no one is left out. And just turn and share with them, what my mother taught me was this, and it's made all the difference in my life. She taught you how to be.
I can't think of anything negative that you don't.
That's great. You had a good mom.
I can, but I'm focusing on. I look in the mirror and I see my mom, and I say something and I hear my mom. Yeah. How about you, Myrna?
Love of music. She played the piano a lot to me at concerts at the time I was small.
How about you, Jennifer?
My mother, you know, I was always critical of my mother growing up. And then after she was gone, I realized all the gifts that she gave me. And she was a very non-judgmental person. And Did everyone? I'd like to invite you to gather back. I'd like to invite you back. I hope you can carry on these conversations at coffee, because that would be great. And then I'd like to invite you into a second conversation. A third. I guess it's a third. And you're going, oh no. I'd like to invite you into an imaginary conversation with your mother. To take a couple of minutes, just close your eyes. And even if you never knew her, or it has been years since you spoke, I invite you to offer gratitude to the one who gave you life. And when you are ready, let her face fade away, trusting that the conversation was holy and sacred, received and held and understood. The mother-child relationship is a sacred one. It pushes us, it challenges us, it grows us, it helps us to become more human. And when we become a full human, full of gratitude and grace, forgiveness for the ways our parents failed us, then we can become our truest, most authentic self, because it is truth and grace, those two mingle together that heals us, that sets us free. And when we can become fully human, sharing both truth and grace, it is then that we step in where the human becomes divine. Jesus seemed to have a complicated relationship with his family. And therefore, it is no surprise that he reminds us to look beyond our own families. That if we didn't get what we needed in our own families of origin, if we don't get from our families that we have created for whatever reason, then he reminds us to look beyond our own families and include other humans as family, as brothers and sisters of the same loving Creator, all of us beloved offspring, and therefore deeply connected to one another, born from the same womb, the womb of God. In our scripture today, Jesus reminds us that it is our family relationships, those whom we consider to be our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, whether they are biologically related or spiritually connected, it is these relationships which will help us to grow ever more into the likeness of our Creator. Who are our mothers and our brothers and sisters? Jesus reminds us that our true family, our soul family, those who do the will of God, are our own mothers and brothers and sisters. Those spirit families, those with whom our spirits are deeply connected, those people who have come to know us and get us at a level that no one else gets, those who are also seeking to become their best selves, these are our mothers and our brothers and our sisters. Richard Bach wrote, "The link that bonds our true family is not always one of blood, but of respect and joy in one another's life." And we can begin to make those spirit families with our community of faith. Because our spirit families are the ones who encourage us in our loneliness and moments of grief, in our struggles and our challenges. They can be the ones who celebrate our spiritual growth. In our Bible study group, just before Good Friday and Easter Sunday, I invited our group to share the times when you have experienced crucifixion and the times when you have risen to new life. And it was holy. People shared through tears and laughter the crucifixions in their lives and the ways they had risen to new life and grown and become stronger and more whole. And in the midst of the tears and the laughter, there was a profound respect and deep joy for one another's life. And we were each in awe of the courage and grace of one another's humanity. If we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable with one another and can learn to trust each other and forgive each other for our humanity, we can live into the kind of kinship that Jesus was describing in our passage this morning of what it truly means to be a family to one another. This past week, while I was at a Soyuz at a leadership event with colleagues, and we listened to Peter Short, a former moderator of the United Church of Canada, and I understand he came here and preached here the day you became affirming. He reminded us that the gospel, that in the gospel we are reminded that the primary sacred work of Jesus was to heal and to forgive, and in doing so, set one another free. Isn't that beautiful? That the purpose, the sacred work that Jesus was all about was in healing and forgiving, and in doing so, setting one another free. And so I invite the community of Knox into that sacred work of Jesus, to be the kind of community that Jesus calls us to be a family to one another, to be a safe place where we help to heal one another from life's hurts, to forgive one another for our humanity, and in doing so, help set one another free. To be mother and brothers and sisters to one another, to be the Holy Family, one to another, helping to grow one another's souls, because this is a sacred work that mothers, that families, that spirit families, that the church is all about. So let us learn to be family to one another, setting each other free. May it be so. Amen.